First line on the Kafei on the Aleph.
It's the line Yerushalmi, the Kafei on the Aleph. So the last thing we learned is that we didn't have an appropriate approach to the Mishnah. And how we get exactly a Beit Sa'ah for 10 Gifonim that are shaped like a Kerem no matter where you approach them. Now, getting to the next piece of the Mishnah, the next piece of the Mishnah discusses the Machlokas, Tanakam, Rabbi Meir, about what the din is if the vines are not Mechuvanot. Does a Kerem have to be precisely arranged, or can there be some deviation in the placement of the vine, so that even if the vines are placed totally at random, says Rebbe Meir, it's still considered to be a vineyard, assuming that it could have been arranged in a way that would give us a sufficient number of vines to create a vineyard in this space.
Talks about the differences between them. It doesn't make any
difference. In other words, we don't have rows. We have things strutting out irregularly. So that he wanted to make it look like a natural vineyard, not like a workable vineyard. So suppose HaKoreit Mechuvan, V'Hanof Eino Mechuvan. If the trunk itself is in a direct row, but the branches and the vines that are strung up are not Mechuvan, some of them stick out on one side, some of them stick out on the other side, that doesn't matter. Hare Zekarim, we look at the roots and the trunk, not at the leaves. On the other hand, Hanof Bechuvan V'Akoret Eino Bechuvan Eino Karim. And the same thing is true on the other hand, that even if the leaves are very carefully arranged on the trellis, they're all even. But you look on the bottom and these things are going in all different directions, the vines themselves, the trunk of the vine themselves, that's not considered to be a Karim. Let's say you dakot beinan mechuvanot. Let's say that you planted some new vines, and because you planted them new, they were removed from the line of the other older, thicker vines. And now in time they grow in, and now they are back to the same level, now that they're 5 inches thick, so they're now basically 5 inches lined up. Now they're closer to the other ones, so they're lined up again. How does it care? That's fine. Okay?
Becomes
a Karen.
Is there any distance that we...
Yes, we're about to. When we say that they have to be Mukhuvan, I mean, what defines that? You know what defines it? You take a string, and you extend the string, Moteach. We're talking about really lining up against a straight line. So line up against your two vines at the end and see if everything touches the string. Now, there's some who learn that when we're talking about the string over here, we're talking about the string as it would be drawn on a line on the inside of the carom. So the question that we have over here is, this halakha of the shape of the carom, its requirement to be mechuvan, is that a description of the nature of a Kerem, or is it the description of what appearances of a Kerem are to people, and therefore we're going with our normal bin of Mar Yita'ayim over here? Is this a theoretical thing, that given that a person would go up in an airplane and would look down at the Kerem, this is how he would see it, even though he's not in that position and so on, but that's how we should look at it? Or do we say, no, the observer, does he see a Kerem or not? So if we're talking about the observer, so then we would be Sanaytanimi Bachut. You're standing outside of the Kerem. So what you want to look at is, how does it look to you over here? How lined up is it? To your point of view, from the outside of the Kerem. And the truth is, if you get up in a plane, you'd see that some of these vines stick out very far, they have a very thick trunk, and they go all the way back. The trunks, we're only talking about the trunks, and some of these vines are actually removed towards the front. But from the outside, it all looks kosher. It all looks like it's lined up. So that's a machlokes. And it makes a big mess in the air. Why? Because Amar Rabbi Yonah, man yomer bibifnim, b'toch tefach. Man yomer bibachutz, tzarech she'eino ge'adehem. There's also a difference how to look at this. Because the line against a string, how do you say metuach in English?
Mm-hmm.
A stretched, yes, a stretched line. Well, a plumb line that goes up and down. But a stretched line is only meaningful if we're really talking about how somebody would see it from the outside. Right, so there he's really looking at it. If he's looking at it, mibachut, it has to actually be lined up, literally. Everything has to be touching this top string on the outside, like it's a straight line. But if you hold manelim bifnim, then obviously we're not that makbid. We're talking about a theoretical spacing that somebody would see from the air. So then, fine, then as long as mitoch tefach, because there's already normal deviation inside between rows, so they're already, if it's within a tefach of the string, it would be okay. Shura hakitzona. How about it goes like this? We have an outside shura, she'ina mechuvenet kenegen hakaratim. Notnim la'avodata v'zorei hatamota. So the outermost shura, we have a normal kerem over here, everything is planted evenly and so on and so forth. The guy plants around the outside of the kerem more as a siman, more as a mark of the kerem than as being part of the kerem. It's very clear because the vines are too close to the other vines and they're not planted in the same row. They seem to be planted at random around the kerem. So what's the din over there? The din is that the outside shura are viewed as separate vines. And you only have to be misrachic from them 6 tefachim. But the line behind them that they're hiding, so to speak, or sequestering, that line is a kerem, and that line takes up the 4 amos. So you have a curious situation. You have a situation in which you are misrachic sufficiently 6 tefachim from the outside ones, and they will be mutter, but you're still within 4 amos of the inside ones, and they will be also. So the outer ones can be mutter even though the inner ones are also. Now you're looking to see.
Yeah, I think and then you have some other
vines around the kerem. So the ones that are around the kerem that are not in the row, as we saw, kerem is defined by the row. Treat them like Jeff and Yefidi, so you only have to worry about 6 blocks. But since they were planted not a leaf but a normal spacing, they're not 4 amas away from the ones behind them. Yes, right? We're also not mechuvenet in that sense. So that means that it's possible for something to be planted 6 tefachim away from the outside row, and the outside row is therefore not kolei kerem. But the inner row, it's within 4 amos, and it still is within 4 amos. The vegetable that you plant. Yeah. Could still be within 4 amos of the inner row. So the inner row would be kolei kerem, but the outer row wouldn't be. Very strange. So therefore, it says Rabbi Yossi, well, the din over there would be that im hayu zorim betoch shisha hakol asur. If you would have brought it within shisha, so then these vines would be also along with the kerem. But if you brought it chutz b'shisha, so now the gefanim, the individual gefanim that are not viewed as part of the kerem are mutarot. But nonetheless, the kerem remains asur. Now we'll see more of this in the Gemara of the next mission.
What are you planting on? Are you planting something?
Tomato.
That would make it vertical.
Yeah. Now, wait a second. And this should say, by the way, not Eze, but rather the Eze. The Eze, Karen Dahl? You call this a Karen Dahl? We're getting back now to the mission. This is Hareze Karen Dahl, the Karen Shachara. Hareze Karen Dahl. This is you call Dahl? This is a rich man's kerem, buddy, because nobody else could afford this amount of land. I mean, for riches, for each vine, you're giving so much land, you're making it very easy for you to bring your tractor in there. You know, normal people that don't have that kind of money, they gotta get a thin tractor and they're sitting over there because they want to make use of every amma. In what sense is that doll? Amar Eviyana, Dal Dikafanim. It's Purim. A kerem is measured in terms of its own riches. Its riches are its vine. This is a poor kerem. It may be Ashir Va'avodot. It may be a very rich kerem, and that obviously somebody is splurging, but it's not. That's not the kerem splurging. That's the owner splurging. The kerem itself is Dal. The Mishnah called this a kerem dal. Hareze kerem dal, right? Hareze nikra kerem dal.
Which one?
The Mishnah, the opening Mishnah, kerem shacharav. Yeah. Well, it has the ten vines that are stretched out. If they're stretched out, why are you calling it poor? It's a very rich term, we're asking. The thing, because the carom, right, the fewer vines it has, the richer the grapes will be in it.
Obviously not, but
I think it's a very, actually, I find it a very touching point that we're measuring the carom doll in terms of the carom. There's something meaningful about this. That's how we look at the vineyard. It's not how we look at our use of the vineyard.
Or the land.
Right. Okay. I understand that that's the way you understood, but you didn't realize that it was significant. But you now know it's a significant point, because the truth is, in the context of Kilayim, Kilayim forces us to view things as they are rather than as our tools. Right? It's not that we're using the earth. It's not that the earth is deep. This is an area which is a carom. You can't just go and plant something else in there. You can't say, well, what do you mean? This is how I want to use it. I don't want it to be a carom. I want it to be a half a tomato field and a half a carom. No, it's not your use that defines whether something is rich or something is poor. Mm-hmm. It's the thing as it is. And that's a very significant point in the context of Kilayim.
Figuring ground, what significance is that which is,
well, that which is
fine?
Yeah.
Halakha base. Perek Chamishi. Karen, Shu Natua Alpachot Mi Arba Amot, Rabbi Shimon Amir Eino Karen, Rechachamim Amir Karen, Harayim Atayim Sayyo, Kilo Einat. Suppose you planted a Karen in such a way that there's less than 4 amos between one vine and the next. So, it says Rabbi Shimon, so forget it, all of it's not a Karen, because that Karen means something where there's going to be enough room for you to bring your tractors in between, and it's going to be properly arranged. This is not a carom. It doesn't satisfy the requirements. Say the Chachamim, what's the problem? The vines in the middle can be simply ignored. Because anyway, the whole issue over here of our minimum of four amas that we have between the kromim is because agriculture demands 4 amas. That's a Machlokas actually. Either some of the Rishonim learned, most of the Rishonim, most of the Rishonim, other than the Rambam, that it's a question of that since a carom requires working, you need room for the avodah. So the avodah carom is around it. Or, the Rambam time is, it's minei ubei agriculturally. A vine is not healthy when it's within 4 amas of another vine. So it needs that kind of room to expand in order to be able to grow properly. In which case, anyway, it's omeid to be ripped up. In other words, what we should look at it, say the Chachamim, look at this as basically the guy planted vines. It wasn't clear which ones would be metzliach. But as they start to grow, he's going to see, oh, this one is healthier, so it'll be made of them. Exactly, he'll rip out now the ones that are less healthy. And certainly, somebody's not an idiot, he's not going to let it grow like that. So for all intents and purposes, there's going to be the ones that are in between. It's as if they're not here. Take a look at the outside distance. The outside distance is 4 amas. It's not more than 8 amas. They're good. The other ones, it's ignored. They're going to be gone.
Between the rows, 4 amas. But between each segment, it's much more close. It's much
no, the rows in both directions.
And between each vine as well?
Yeah.
Yeah. We don't
know that. Yeah. I don't know. No, not, nothing that I've seen. It only has rows. It doesn't have any difference between the vines.
In between each vine as well?
No. I've never seen it today, but that's certainly the way the Gemara has it. When we talk about rows of 7 and 9 and so on and so forth, it was in both directions. It was a matrix in which everyone was surrounded by four. Amarla and Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says to them, now, what do you mean? See them as if they're not here. The ones, gentlemen, that you are looking at as if they're not here are the only ones that will be here. Meaning, well, I understand. What does that mean? We determine at random that these are the ones that are not here? Maybe those are the ones that are here. You're telling me, well, it's okay, the ones in the middle aren't here. Maybe the other ones are the ones in the middle, and these are the ones that are here?
Because you don't know which
ones are going to
be
ripped out? Exactly. So, well, how can you see anything as if it's not here? We're going to explain this more. So you're timing, let's pretend that they're not here. Maybe they're the Iker Shel Karom, and maybe everything else is not here. Since there's no way to know, So therefore, you can't ignore it because it is here. There's no way to say it's not here. You can't tell me this one is meant to be akur. So Hada Amra, now this seems to imply, therefore, says Rabbi Hananya, Hada Amra, Yishor Yishesh Kenegat Shesh. In other words, if you have a rose, you have your rose of six, right? So then, basically, you could have your row of six, whichever three you take out.
Mm-hmm.
So you can always be left with three. You don't know whether you're going to start with the odd numbers, you're going to start with the even numbers. But one way or the other, you're going to be left with a row of three. So Rabbi Shimon is saying, so how do you know which one is the row, which one isn't the row? And since that's true, you have no way of determining. And the Mela, they're all here, and it's not a kosher carrot. So you only have two rows of five. So what are we going to say? That the guy's going to be okay, the odd numbers, and be left with two out of the five? Obviously, he's going to be okay to two and be left three out of the five. So in that case, what Rabbi Shimon is going to say, you're looking at the ikur of the karam. Well, we're going to say, this guy's a church. Obviously, we're not looking at the ikur of the karam. We're looking ones in between. So if there's an odd number of vines, and obviously the even numbers are going to be on it to be nekah. So that we're left with a greater number of vines, right? So therefore, if we have chamesh, keneged chamesh, then we do know. Then kuliyama moda, even Rabbi Shimon would be moda. In that case, shiroin et emtiot kiloinon. It's the middle ones, the even numbered ones, that are as if they're not there. Rabbi Mana says, no, it's exactly the opposite, actually. How does the tema, when do we say that the Rabbanan argue only if it was five keneged five? But if it was sheish keneged sheish, so then Rabbi Shimon is absolutely correct. You're telling me you see the middle ones if they're not there? Well, they're both middle ones. So it's this one and it's that one. So mao how does the tamina rona temsa kilo einan? Okay, so then what would be, forget that, actually it's part of the next line, we shouldn't read it with this. But therefore, they're both the same. And therefore, in that case, everybody would be made up, including the Chachamim. But Rabbi Shimon is absolutely correct. I cannot determine if they're even, which ones to be open. So this is a question, whether Rabbi Shimon argues even in a case where it's six connected six, or whether the Chachamim would also argue even in a case of five of six connected. Typical, we're not sure which one is the one that would go so far. Now, when you say the words Lohanes and Tzayoti Ilu Einan, how far do you mean that? I mean, Lohanes and Tzayoti Ilu Einan, it sounds like you're saying they don't exist. If they don't exist, there's no Hashash of Kilayim at all about this. In other words, as far as we're concerned, they're not Gifanim. Virtual. So the male, if you take it, does that mean that even if you take the vine and you put it over the adjacent tomatoes, you say, well, there's no vine here. But what about that? No, that's not there. It's Elohim. Is that you're willing to go that far? So how did the Tanina Rona say, Elohim? Says Rabuna, that means exactly what it says. Shemutar lahadlotan al-gabezraim. It means you can put them over your tomatoes. Omer Rabbi Mana. Rabbi Mana says, Adam is saying, Allah Omer Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Mana says, absolutely not. When it says over here that they're meant to be taken away, and nonetheless we have a Karen, what is that telling you? Saying even though they're meant to be taken away, nonetheless, meanwhile, we have a Karen. Now, is that not exactly what Rabbi Yosef said in the previous Mishnah? Rabbi Yossi says that if you have this row around the vineyard, now a row around the vineyard in which it's possible to be within four amas of the inner row, while you're out of six tefachim of the outer row, obviously is not spaced properly, right? Because it means that the outside row was built right up against the existing lines of the vineyard. Nonetheless, what did Rabbi Yossi say? That if you'll have kelayim that are within six tefachim of those vines, then the whole thing becomes us. Why? They're meant to be ne'ekar. You see that Ronas and Tioenam does not mean that they're not Kelayim. It just means it doesn't ruin the Karam.
But the Kelayim to the inner row, not the outer.
No. The Kelayim to the outer row. Only if they're more than six fucking away are they Kelayim only to the inner row. But if they're within six tefachim of the outer row, we don't say, well, the outer row doesn't exist. They exist, and it's just a bakteh. The whole thing is kelayim. So you see, says Rabbi Mana, that no, that's the whole point the mission's making. That a kerem remains a kerem and can be entirely also besides kelayim. Even though supposedly ronos on kiloenon, we only mean ronos on kiloenon in terms of determining whether or not it's a kerem. Once we define it as a kerem, then so long as these vines are here, they're not virtual vines, they're real vines, and they become us like kelayim, and that's exactly what Rabbi Yossi said. I kind of says Rabbi Mana, how to misayel adam Rabbi Yossi. I say this Mishnah is really basically taking for granted what Rabbi Yossi said a minute ago on the previous halacha, that im hayu zra'im betok shisha, that if you would have zra'im that are betok shisha, the outside vine, then everything is also, including the inside and the outside. If you have a chutzpah shisha, then, and it's within four amas of the inner one, then the inner gefarim and mutaros vakerem asur sedum, and that proves it to you. You see that it's still a vine, even though it's meant to be ne'akar. Shimon bar Ba, b'shem Rabbi Yochanan, says this machlok that we have over here between Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim would apply also to another interesting case in which we need to find a particular distance between something in order for it to have a din, and namely what's called the Shchunat Kvarot. The derech was to bury in these the very complex constructions of kufin and so on, which the Mishnayos of Baba Basra go into, and how it was shaped, Shchunat Kvarot. In any event, the din is that if you find kvarim that are set up in a particular way with one amma between them, you have to be choshish that you've stumbled over Shchunat Kvarot, and therefore you'll have to go in every direction to see whether this was the north end of a south Shchunat Kvarot, or the east end of a west Shchunat, and so on and so forth, right? But if you find basically a jumble of bodies, then you can assume that some kind of catastrophe happened over here. There was a volcano, or there was a collapse, and people were just buried in naturally here, but not that this was a Shchunat Kvarot. Not that it was meant to be set up like this. Now, we have exactly the same problem over there. Suppose you find bodies that are too close to each other to be a real Shchunat Kvarot, but there's not an Amma in between them. You could say the same thing. Take out every other body, and you'll find that you have a good Shchunat Kvarot. You have to be cautious. Now, we know already that there is a profound relationship between these two figures, because the Takona of HaTov HaMeitiv on the Kerem is because of the burial in Beitar. Correct? And Mazir can't go on exactly a Kerem, Kor, and a Bezakor. Exactly. Beautiful. Right? So here, once again, we have another strange correlation between the vines that brought death to the world in Yesh Hadad and the graves that are a result of those vines. So the question is this a Shchunat Kvarot? Should be dependent on the Machlokes, Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim. If you hold that we can view every other body as not being here, every other vine is not being here, we can view every other body as not being here. That's what we're going to discuss. It seems rather far-fetched on the surface. We're not going to discuss this. Amar Rabbi Yonah, now come on. I mean, what is the comparison over here? Why in the world would we think that the machlokas here has anything with machlokas over there? I mean, taman meruvachim v'ratzfan. I mean, what happened over there was that we could suggest maybe initially these bones, in fact, were properly spread out. And what happened is that somebody now added kvarot, right? And moved it. And now it's not a kosher shchunat. Well, which happens when people they want an easy way. It's like sometimes we find in our days, you just keep burying one on top of the other, so on and no longer mocked it. But initially it was properly spaced. So people now they have difficulty in burying a mace and so on. So they figure, okay, well, you know, we won't be so mocked on previous quorum that we have. So why shouldn't we assume that over the course of time, what was a perfect shchunat kvarot is now to our eyes, we have no way of determining whether maybe there was 1,000 years between one and the other, we wouldn't know, right? And then maybe it is a shchunat kvarot. So therefore,
was it always
Well, yeah, because after all, if it was once arranged, we still have to see whether there's quorum on the other side. I mean, it's a simple logistical issue. It's not, it's not magic. We're saying if you've stumbled over a graveyard, then you have to make sure that you're not digging up a graveyard, and you have to take it. Check 20 on this and the other side also. Fine, I mean, that's a figure we'll get to in blah, blah, blah. So we have no reason to believe that there wasn't initially just the correct number of graves, and now they've become jumbled. So Yeshlem Shchunat Korot, everybody would agree over there that if it's possible to remove some of these bodies and then have the graves arranged properly, so why shouldn't we say that other bodies now look to our eyes and think jumbled together, but they weren't initially jumbled together. So then Yeshlem Shchunat Korot, if it would be Ritzufim V'Rabchan, if you knew that L'chatchila was Ritzuf, that it was originally made wrongly. So then obviously that what happened over here was either a natural catastrophe, in which people were buried together in a mass grave, or the people that were burying them knew nothing and cared nothing about burying properly and just threw bodies into a hole. And then nobody would say that you do have a shkunat korot. We're simply coming to figure out what happened archaeologically. That's all. What does that have to do now with our machlokas b'amahorcha? What are we talking about over here? We're talking about where Meruvachim V'Ratzvan B'Machloket. But the problem of the year is, what if the ones that are Omeid Le'Aker, supposedly, do we call them Akurot, even though he was the guy who made them Ritzufim L'Chatchila, right? So even though initially it was set up wrong, the Chachamim are saying, okay, but still they're Omeid for the Yakur. Well, then it's a whole different issue. Well, I mean, it's completely without any connection whatsoever. One is talking about the realities of archaeology, and one is talking about if somebody went out to do it wrong, and we know that in the end it's going to be Akur. Can we view it as being Akur now? Now, can you, by some stretch of the imagination, show me how those two have anything to do with each other? Okay, so therefore, Ritzufim V'Rabchan, Divrei Hakol. And if Lamaisa, you ended up taking it out, everybody is mother to Karen. They're only arguing before you were open. Should we magically say it's a Zipitzakur or not? That's all. What you're going to do in that case, if you're going to what? You're going to now take out the Kvarim from in between. That's going to change something? That's going to tell you the way it was before? Over here, it has nothing to do with the way it was initially. It has to do with the way it is now. The question only is whether it counts as if it already is. That's all. It's literally the opposite case. Over there, we only need to determine how it was initially. And over here, we only need to determine whether the way it's going to be is the way we should look at it already. It's just completely opposite ends of the world, basically. Brahmacha Maplegin, Bishaba Umat'anus Christophim. When it comes to the Shunat Farot, we're trying to figure out how to understand what we're seeing. We're coming now and finding Ritzufim. So Rabbi Shimon say, Omer ani gal nafal aleihem b'ratzfan. I mean, so Rabbi Shimon could say, well, it looks bad. It looks like it was just a natural catastrophe. Apparently there was a volcano over here. They were all buried in a landslide. I don't know, right? So, I mean, I have no idea how it was initially. So maybe yes, maybe not. Rabbanan could say, Meruvachim mein Ratzvan. Maybe initially they were Meruvachim. Now it's Ratzuf, but it certainly does not come from the way we're going to look at a vineyard. That's for sure. Secret. Halacha Gemara. Harit, Shu'ul Verbaterim. If you have a ditch that cuts through the entire terim, then when we say the entire term, it's not clear whether that includes the makom of the avodah chutzpah term or not, but that we're going to discuss. And this ditch is 10 tefachim deep, and it's 4 tefachim wide. So now at this point, we don't say just, okay, I will walk right over it. So there, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, Im hayam mefulash milosh ha-terem la-tzofo, harei zeh nireh ki ben shnei klamim. If it cuts through the entire term from one end to the other, and so then what we have over here is essentially two separate vineyards. And now in the middle, because of the fact that this is a 10-second high a barrier between the two, I can now be Zorea inside of it. And Zorea in the Tocho down. But if it doesn't satisfy these requirements, either it's not wide enough, it's not long enough, or it doesn't go from one to the other, you know what it looks like? It looks like a gap. Spoke to the carom. Every carom, after all, deserves to have a bore in it for squeezing the wine and collecting the wine. So then it doesn't look like a barrier. It looks like it's part of the carom itself. So I reyo kigat. If you have a gap, suppose you actually have a gap, and the gap to the carom is a muka asara, rechava arba'a, rechava arba'a, Rabbi Eliezer says, then you can be zor'in betocha, because nonetheless, it's considered to be a completely separate area, even though it is a gap, and you can plant within it. The Chachamim mostly, the Chachamim, however, they hold that it becomes a bottle to the carom, and it's as if you're planting in the carom itself.
Is it not a lot?
No.
A gap?
No, whatever a gap is. Our first question is it a gap or is it a haluka of the carom into two pramim? Okay. If there is a gap, and that a gap would mean, everybody would agree, in other words, a real gap, we're saying kid gap, but a real gap is surrounded on all four sides by the carom. So it's a ditch inside of the carom. That is over here. That's a machlokas. Right? That's a machlokas. But our initial, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, who's saying, well, not a tigat. I mean, obviously, he holds like the chachon, that it's awesome. Otherwise, there'd be no point in saying it. Well, then it's a gat, because according to Rebbe Lozer, not to be confused with Rebbe Lozer ben Yaakov, but according to Rebbe Eliezer, the din is that it would be mutter even if it were a gat. That's a separate question. But a real gat is surrounded now. So that matter is shomei lash of the carom. Let's say you have a watch tower, which is actually a watch hill. So notice, this is a place in which the watchman will stand, so he could see the whole carom on the other side. So it's tall. And it's gavoa asara v'rochava arba'a. So then zorim b'tocha, meaning on top of it, of course. In other words, as long as it's a separate rishon, you can be zorea other things in it. However, im hayas sa'ar koteish, we had this lesson in other sages earlier, if the hair, meaning the vine, they end up crushing it down because they all mix above it, so it looks more like it's part of the carom that holding up the vine. So then it's a fruit, then it's brought to the carom. Get them, if you have a single vine, which is a metua, it's planted in a gat or in a neka, in some type of ditch. Notnim la avodata, v'zoreata motar. You can give it its six tefachim that you would usually give it, but it doesn't ask for the entire ditch to say, okay, this ditch now is brothel for the, it's like a flower pot, so to speak, for a carom, and anything that's planted in there is planted with the carom. And the Yossi says, no, if it doesn't have arba amot over there, then it's actually all chavush. And if it's chavush, then it's basically the same as a carom. You have to be marfik. Anything inside has to be marfik from the vine. Lo yaviz zara l'sham. Rahabayit shel the carom zor imota. For if you have an area that is obviously not meant to be part of the carom, that's surrounded by mechitzas, you could be actually put plants inside of that bayit, and there would be no problem of harchaka at all. We're already on the next one. Okay, so let's do some more. Okay. Yeah, good.